Congratulations. You've built a viable business, and now you've determined that you want or need to sell it. You're not alone. In fact, over 2 million North American businesses change hands every year, and most of them are small to mid-sized companies. No matter what type of business you operate, it's likely that there's a buyer out there looking for a company like yours. But finding the right buyer and selling the business on the best terms possible can be a complicated process. If you're like most, after discovering the many details you'll need to attend to in order to sell your business on your own, you've probably decided to enlist the help of an outside professional to guide you through the process and manage the details. But who do you turn to? How do you know that they will be able to sell your company, get the price your business deserves, or structure the terms properly? After all, this is one of the most important events of your life. You've poured a lot of time, money, and energy into your business. You just don't want to make the wrong choice. In this audio white paper, VR CEO Peter King and President Joanne Lombardi will arm you with a set of 12 very enlightening questions that you can ask any attorney, agent, broker, or intermediary before trusting them with the sale of your business. These insightful questions will help you determine for yourself who would be best qualified to represent you in this vitally important transaction. Having sold more businesses in North America than anyone, VR is committed to being a valuable resource for our clients. In keeping with this commitment, VR developed these audio white papers to provide information that will enable you to consistently grow and improve. We hope you not only enjoy, but also profit from the following information. Question number one. How many businesses have you sold in the past, and what type of businesses were they?
This is a very important question to ask anyone that you are considering having represent you in this transaction. What you want to find out is how active this professional is in marketing and closing the sale of businesses. Because some business transactions involve very large dollar amounts and are very complicated, a good business intermediary may only handle two or three actual closings per year. On the other hand, if the broker is primarily representing small Main Street companies that sell in the range of $150,000, you should expect that that broker will handle at least 15 closings annually. Many general business brokers will in fact have a range of closings from $50,000 up to the occasional $500,000 transaction. In general, business brokers who close deals in the $1 to $5 million range are considered mid-market brokers or intermediaries. The most sophisticated professionals who operate in the $5 million plus range are generally referred to as mergers and acquisitions specialists, since many of the deals in these upper price ranges involve the sale of the business to another company. Knowing what price level the professional typically lists and sells will give you the insight to whether the number of deals he or she closes annually demonstrate a high or low activity level. If you already have an idea of what your business may be worth, it's often wise to choose a representative who typically deals with transactions that are larger than yours. The reasons for this are they are often more sophisticated about the way they value companies, and therefore may be able to justify a higher selling price. They're often able to target buyers of much greater means. And, especially in the case of intermediaries who have experience in mergers and acquisitions, they'll be able to access more potential markets to find buyers for your business, like selling your business to another company. Typically, a real estate agent or low-range business broker just doesn't have the kind of training, sophistication, or wherewithal. Now, notice that you've also asked them about the type of businesses they typically sell. This is to help you determine if they have a certain specialty, like restaurants, franchises, printing companies, or manufacturers. It's very important that a business intermediary you retain to represent your business for sale is at least somewhat familiar with the type of business you're in. Realistically, it isn't absolutely necessary for a representative who've actually sold the business exactly like yours, but industry familiarity is still a big plus. You'll find it much easier to explain your business operations to the intermediary, and they in turn will be much more able to represent your business for the sale in its best light. If the intermediary is familiar with your specific type of business or its industry, they'll know the business jargon, sales trends, projected growth rates, and other information important to communicating with you and knowledgeable prospective buyers. Another option is to utilize the services of a mergers and acquisitions firm that have several intermediaries on staff and perhaps even multiple locations. A team like this offers a breadth and depth of experience that few real estate agents or small independent business brokers can rival. The challenge, if you're a smaller company, will be to find a firm like this who will represent a smaller transaction.
Question number two. What is the average value of businesses you have successfully brokered, and what is the range of values?
This question is similar to the first one, except that you need to try to find out which portion of the general business market this professional is most active in. If you expect your business to sell for $1 million+, then it's not likely the broker who never closed a deal over $150,000 would be right for you. Due to the complexity of most business sales, even the small ones, it's usually better that you retain a professional who would be working toward the low end of their range than one who is working toward the higher end. Some may charge higher fees than others, but if their level of sophistication and experience enables them to secure a higher selling price for your company, it will more than make up for the difference.
Question number three. What marketing methods do you use to target potential buyers for my business?
Marketing methods are extremely important to the successful sale of a business. If the associate you ask simply replies with a list of places they advertise, they're not likely to serve you very well. The skillful and experienced intermediaries will instead talk about targeted marketing for your business. Beginning with the packaging of your company information into a form of well-developed offering statement or package. Additionally, the most experienced intermediaries often have a substantial backlog of potential buyers that they can present your business to without ever having to expose your business to the general marketplace. And most established intermediaries have extensive business community contacts that they can use to discreetly seek a potential buyer without having to advertise, though they are certainly sophisticated enough to advertise in local periodicals, broker newsletters, or on the internet if the approach is appropriate for your company. If you have employees, confidentiality is vital. In this case, you certainly don't want to be represented by someone whose primary method of marketing is advertising without serious safeguards to maintain your privacy. We'll discuss more about privacy shortly. One more point concerning marketing. Often, the biggest challenge for buyers, sellers, and brokers of small businesses is to efficiently find each other and close the deal. Many would-be business buyers are willing to relocate to anywhere in the country for the right business. Many businesses themselves are not geographic specific and can be relocated to the buyer's area. Local brokers may just not have the resources to easily connect with the wealth of potential buyers outside of their region. Often, their only tool for this consists of internet listings. However, if not done correctly, confidentiality is often sacrificed. To be able to take advantage of these situations, an intermediary with a nationwide network of contacts and offices can offer the best and most confidential solution.
Question number four. How would you go about valuing my business and determining the selling price?
If you're going to rely on the business broker to assist you in establishing value of your business, you'll want to find out what business valuation method they intend to use. There are several legitimate and defendable ways to value a business, but they can be distilled down to the basics. The simplest method is market-based valuation. In this method, your intermediary would recommend an asking price based on the sales price of similar businesses in your area and industry, taking into account other attractiveness factors to determine whether the price should be set at a higher or lower end of the comparable sales range. Although this is not a comprehensive valuation tool, it is quick, inexpensive, and makes sense to buyers, so it's common practice for the sale of small businesses. While the market-based valuation is certainly an acceptable way to determine a good selling price for a company, there is a danger here in dealing with real estate agents, attorneys, or smaller business brokers. Their tendency is to look at comparable business sales and adjust to reflect your annual revenues, but they seldom figure in other things that make the deal much more attractive. Their seller financing, a long-term lease at extremely reasonable rates, intellectual property, and other potential growth drivers that have yet to be exploited. All of these, when presented properly and well-developed offering package, can help secure a higher selling price. Asset-based valuations take into account figures such as the book value and liquidation value of the business. These are considered bare minimums in business appraisals and are not generally used as a sole path to an asking price. Earning-based valuations take into account historical financial figures, including debt payments, cash flows, past, present, and projected, and revenues. Earning-based valuations are often combined with asset-based valuations for a more inclusive appraisal. In situations of larger sales or other special needs, an intermediary or broker may utilize the services of an outside valuations company. Many times, this third-party credibility will add a greater level of security in the mind of the potential buyer, as the appraiser has no vested interest in skewing the value one way or another. Bottom line, although many realtors and business brokers have developed rules of thumb for arriving at a ballpark estimation for the value of a business value and therefore its asking price should never be based on such a crude estimate.
Question number 5. How will you protect my confidentiality in this whole process?
Many business owners are very wary of letting it be known to anyone that their business is for sale. There are many good reasons for this, and the ability to maintain the confidentiality of the planned business sale is an important capability of the professional intermediary. However, one of the hardest things to do when selling and operating business is to maintain the confidentiality of the sale. Although no reputable intermediary can ever guarantee you complete confidentiality, there are many things they can do to maximize the chances that your business will remain discreet. The two most important things are using discretion in the details that are included in any advertising of your business and using confidentiality agreements prior to releasing any details about the sale. Requiring legally binding documentation signed by potential buyers, which requires them not to disclose any of the details they learn about your business, or even the fact that it's for sale. Most professional business intermediaries will use some sort of confidentiality agreement with potential buyers, which contains such language as, "This will acknowledge that on the date as set forth below, I have received from certain pertinent confidential and proprietary." In addition to maintaining confidentiality and advertising your business for sale, your representative should have a plan for maintaining confidentiality while touring and showing the business. They should be willing to show the premises after normal business hours and will be willing to pose as a banker or some other professional having a legitimate interest in touring the business during normal hours. No method is foolproof, but take proper precautionary steps to prevent the information about the sale of your business from leaking out before you wish to announce it.
Question number 6. What are your licenses? What is your training?
A business broker's educational and training background are not always good indicators of a successful brokering endeavor. Brokers come from many walks of life and are hugely divergent backgrounds. In general, a broker's track record in selling businesses is much more indicative of their potential than their training. However, you may be able to get a feel for a broker's sophistication and sense of their business based on their education and training. In several states, a business broker intermediary is required to be licensed in real estate. Unfortunately, while this helps them understand the terms and logistics of a lease, it doesn't help them understand how to price or market an enterprise. You want to find out if the business broker splits their time between selling real estate and businesses, or if they concentrate on selling businesses only. Usually, you'll receive much better service and results if the business broker concentrates on selling businesses. In addition to a strong track record, ongoing education and training from their firm or an association like the International Business Brokers Association can be an indicator of the dedication to his or her profession. Those with a background as corporate executives or business owners also bring with them a wealth of valuable experience.
Question number 7. How do you keep my financial information confidential?
To facilitate the process of selling your business and to allow the professional intermediary to present your business in its best light, you'll need to provide sensitive business financial information. Every business owner naturally has a concern about the safeguarding of that information from competitors and others with no legitimate need to know. A good business intermediary will require that a potential buyer sign a non-disclosure. Additionally, the business intermediary should have a security arrangement with their office where only the listing broker controls access to the seller's detailed financial information. No one other than the listing intermediary should have access to the seller's business financial information without the express consent of the listing broker.
Question number 8. How do you keep from wasting my time with unqualified buyers?
A qualified prospective buyer is someone who is ready and able to buy a business such as the one being offered for sale. A ready and able buyer or qualified buyer is someone who is honestly looking for a business to purchase. Someone who has the motivation and personal commitment to purchase a business, and someone who has the financial resources or access to them to consummate the purchase. A professional business intermediary should know how to sort through the many non-qualified buyers to get to the few who actually do have the means and motivation to buy your business. Once the unqualified potential buyers have been culled out, a high percentage of the qualified buyers eventually do buy a business. Many quality intermediaries use a questionnaire such as a buyer's financial qualification statement to qualify the buyer. If it's determined that the buyer is not financially qualified to buy the business, a great deal of wasted time on everyone's part will be avoided.
Question number 9. Will I need to finance any portion of the sale?
Whether or not you like the idea, these days, it is most common that a seller will often have to finance at least part of the transaction to complete the sale of the business. I know most sellers just want to sell their businesses and be done with it, but it often doesn't work like that. Unless your business is extremely profitable, very well established, has a strong, consistent, and loyal customer base in a growing market, most banks and other lending institutions will only loan a portion of the business value, if anything at all. This is especially true if a significant portion of the business value is in goodwill. In fact, many leading institutions won't lend more than 70% of the fair market value of the tangible assets and won't loan any portion of the goodwill at all. So, unless the buyer has the entire amount of the purchase price in cash, you might want to think about how much and under what conditions you'll take back a promissory note against the sale of your business. Here are some other thoughts that you should consider on this topic of seller financing. Most sales of closely held businesses are primarily financed by the seller. Unless you are selling to another company that has ample credit facilities, most business buyers just don't have the entire amount of the business selling price in cash. There are also many other demands for the buyer's money and at the time of transfer of ownership of the business, such professional advisor fees, transfer taxes and related expenses, and operating cash requirements, to name a few. The buyer will also want to hold a certain amount of ready cash in reserve to cover any surprise expenditures and other contingencies. Even if the buyer has the available cash at their disposal or is able to obtain outside financing, they'll usually want to see a continued financial involvement on the part of the seller. This serves to establish some confidence on the part of the buyer that the sales and profitability claims made by the seller are all true. It's very difficult to obtain third-party financing for the purchase of an operating business. Commercial banks, venture capitalists, and other sources of funds are very wary of financing a transaction of this nature because of the many things that can go wrong under a new owner. Most of the potential problems are extremely difficult to evaluate before the sale of the business. Accordingly, any outside financing may carry such a high interest rate to cover the risks involved that the debt load may make the purchase impossible. A seller will usually receive the highest price for the business if they provide the financing for the buyer because they can provide the best terms. The seller has a great deal more latitude in selecting an interest rate and a payoff period than a conventional lender, and consequently will be better able to ensure that a successful sale of a business takes place at the highest reasonable price. You should ask the intermediary what percentage of their business sales include seller financing and if they have alternate sources of financing that can be made available to qualified buyers. Some intermediaries have good contacts for sources of capital from SBA participating banks or venture capital funds.
Question number 10. Can you supply me with any references?
Experienced intermediaries most often have a portfolio of testimonials, thank you letters, and names of satisfied clients that they'll provide to a serious new prospective client. Most often these references will be from the sellers, the business intermediary's most common client. Some have also represented buyers or have received positive comments from satisfied buyers on the flip side of the transaction. These are all important for you to check out to satisfy yourself as to the level of satisfaction from others that the intermediary has worked for. Additionally, you should ask for references from attorneys, accountants, and bankers that the intermediary has recently worked with in closing business deals. Most likely, the intermediary won't have any written testimonials from them. You should be able to obtain several names of professionals who may be familiar or known to you, from whom you can receive an unbiased opinion as to the broker's expertise in facilitating the sale of a business. These references may be of equal significance to you as the testimonials of past clients. The intermediary most likely will only provide you with satisfied clients' references. By talking with the attorneys and CPAs involved in the intermediary's most recent closings, you may be able to get a broader perspective of their capabilities. When dealing with a higher-level intermediary that also does mergers and acquisition work, they keep a record of their successful transactions in a written form that they refer to as tombstones. This area of references and testimonials is so vital because it strikes the heart of what this is all about, results. I am the president of a large multinational M&A firm, but I don't have any delusions that a business seller desires to purchase my services. Of course not. He desires to have the results of a successful sale at top dollar. Testimonials and references will give you comfort that the professional that you are considering regularly delivers those results. Just to brag a little here, this is one of the things I'm so proud of with our team at VR. VR has sold more businesses in North America than anyone. Because of that, we have a strong track record and an enormous number of testimonials and references.
Question number 11. What are your fees?
Many business intermediaries have a standard fee that they charge, which is usually a set percentage of the total value of a business sale up to a set value, after which percentage declines on some scale. Often, the total value includes all tangible and intangible assets, including the cash, accounts receivable, and inventory, and these are part of the business transaction. A typical fee arrangement for a business intermediary may have a set percentage for all businesses valued up to $2 million, followed by a lower percentage for the next million, then continuing on with a lower percentage for each $1 million of value up to the lowest percentage for anything over $10 million in value. In many cases, the intermediary will require an upfront fee to be paid to represent your business for sale. The amount paid will most often be deducted from the sales commission at the time of the sale. However, if no closing takes place, the fee is not refundable. Many of the more successful and highly qualified intermediaries are requiring this arrangement, and it can easily be argued that you'll receive more competent professional representation with this fee arrangement. The most important thing to remember when you're evaluating your chosen professional's fee structure is that the lower percentages don't always equate to a lower cost of the sale. For instance, if a professional intermediary who knows how to properly package and market your business to a qualified audience can secure a higher selling price, this normally more than makes up for the few percentage points difference.
Question number 12. How long will it take to sell my business? What are the terms of the listing agreement?
There are basically three types of listing agreements or authorizations to sell that you can enter into. The open agency listing gives the broker the right to sell the business, but without any specified performance requirements for either the seller or the broker. The sellers still have the right to sell the business themselves and also to enter into other open listing agreements with other brokers. The broker, in turn, doesn't have any obligation to use any effort in marketing that business. In general, open listings are at the least desirable to the broker, and they'll avoid them if possible because they are competing against too many others, including the seller. The broker could do a fine job with marketing a business and then lose out on a commission because some other broker or the owner himself sells the situation first. Without an exclusive right to sell, the seller has a strong competitive advantage over the broker, price. The owner can sell the business for less if there doesn't have to be a broker's commission paid. Brokers may decide to accept an open listing on a business if they feel the price, terms, and some other conditions will make the business very hard to sell and they don't want to spend much time or money marketing it. A typical seller problem with an open listing scenario is that it is virtually impossible to keep matters confidential. So if you have any concern along those lines, this is not the way to go. Additionally, no serious intermediary who is planning to aggressively market your company would agree to an open listing. The only reason they might entertain it is to have the business as part of their on-the-shelf in inventory, in case they run across a buyer who would be interested in it. The exclusive agency listing gives the broker the exclusive right to sell the business as an agency brokerage firm. The seller retains the right to sell the business personally, but can't give a listing to any other agency during the term of the agreement. The broker is required to exert their full and best efforts to market that business. Although this isn't the most desirable type of listing for all concerned, it's many times an acceptable compromise over the open listing. In general, a seller won't be able to sell the business without the broker, and in most cases won't even make the attempt if there's an aggressive marketing approach taken by the broker. However, the broker may be competing with the seller if the seller decides to actively pursue selling the business. The seller will have an advantage over the broker in that the business can be sold for 6 to 10% less than the broker can sell it for. With both of these prior to listing types, the reason why a seller would desire them comes from lack of trust that the broker can and will do what they said they would. So they are attempting to test the water, so to speak, while keeping their options open. I would advise, however, that if this is the attitude you have about the person you are considering trusting in the sale of your business, you need to keep looking further. It is much more advantageous for the seller and the broker to work together to accomplish a sale, and any competition between them may actually be counterproductive. Finally, there is the exclusive right to sell listing, which is the best arrangement for the professional intermediary and business seller as well. Most businesses that are sold are done so under exclusive right to sell agreements. This listing gives the intermediary the sole and exclusive right to sell the business. Even if the present owner personally sells the business, the agreed-upon commission must be paid to the intermediary, but this rarely happens. The marketing requirements for the intermediary are the same as for an exclusive agency, and they must use their best efforts to sell that business. The advantage to the intermediary with this listing is that they can feel much more secure in investing their time, effort, and advertising money in promoting the sale of the business without fear that the owner or anyone else will cut them out by finding another buyer. The advantage to the seller is that the best service is received from the protected and therefore highly motivated business intermediary. The only potential disadvantage from this type of listing is the risk that the business seller takes relative to whether or not an agent or broker will provide their best efforts. The seller will be unable to sell the business themselves without owing the broker commission, or to give the listing to a more qualified intermediary until the term of the listing agreement has expired. The best solution to this disadvantage is to make sure at the start that you're using a professional, reputable business intermediary to represent you and your business. Another point to consider on the subject of listing agreements is the length of time that the agreement is valid. It's unreasonable to expect to sell a business in less than 6 months, with 12 months being a better estimate given the complicated nature of the transaction. Therefore, the most qualified intermediary is reasonable when they expect a one-year term for both parties.
We've presented you with our view of the 12 most important questions that a business seller should ask their intermediary before they consider trusting them with the sale of their business. Hopefully, these questions gave you a solid track to run on for interviewing a potential representative or advisor to help you sell your business. However, these questions and related answers and discussion are no substitute for more extensive information and professional advice on this complicated topic. I would encourage anyone considering the sale of their business to seek competent professional legal and accounting advice during all phases of the business sales process. Also, it's a good idea to read and listen to as much as you can on the process and learn how you can effectively help your representative sell your business for the top dollar. Our VR audio white papers have a variety of topics related to the purchase and divestiture of businesses, as well as related topics like increasing profits through effective marketing strategies or referral business systems. I encourage you to check them all out. Thank you.
This audio white paper has been brought to you by your local VR Mergers and Acquisitions office. Specializing in privately owned and closely held mid-market companies, VR's experienced team of highly trained intermediaries can powerfully represent you throughout a merger, acquisition, or divestiture process. As your advocate, a VR professional intermediary provides a discreet, comprehensive, consultative approach to each and every business transaction that is unrivaled in the mergers and acquisitions industry. Because VR only recruits the most seasoned and experienced professionals and trains them in our proprietary M&A system, you can rely on every VR intermediary and team to bring to you exactly the same level of service and professional resources that a much larger company would receive from the finest top-tier investment bank. We invite you to call the phone number printed on the back of this audio package. Find out for yourself why VR has sold more businesses in North America than anyone, and more importantly, how we can help you.